everybody doing? Wow. How's everybody doing? God, cool. I'm good to go? All right. So, we're going to continue with our wonderful study in the book of Jonah, obviously. And this morning, we are again going to be looking at verse 17, which is the last verse of chapter 1, and then we're going to jump into chapter 2, and we're going to dive into, well, no pun intended, but that's a good one, his prayer, Jonah's prayer. Where was Jonah's heart, okay? So before we do that, before we get into God's word, let's go ahead and say a word of prayer, okay? So bow your heads with me. Father, we come to you this morning, and we first and foremost just love you. I pray that we will just open our hearts, open our minds to what you want us to hear today, Lord. Not anything that I say, but Lord, that your words and your message will just flow through me, that hearts will be touched, eyes will be open, that your word of God will pierce all of us in some special way that we need. Meet us here this morning, Lord, we pray. Help this story of Jonah and what he experienced to apply to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have been given the wonderful task of having to cover and to give a message this morning on this incredible story in the scriptures in about 20 minutes, give or take, all right? And the reality is this is one of the most incredible stories, I think, in the entire scriptures. And we had a lot of great discussion this past week in the Shepherding Council regarding this particular passage of scripture and Jonah, and where was he at this point? What was going on? And there's a lot packed into this, right? What an incredible story. So we're going to jump in. But the first thing I wanted to do is real quick, let's take about a minute or two and let's recap what gets us to this point. So we all know, right? God talks to Jonah and he says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. Those people are cray cray, they're messed up, they need help, and you're the guy that I'm looking at. And he's like, deuces, I don't want to have anything to do with that, I'm going this way, right? He gets on the ship and he's like, I'm going away, I want to run from you, I don't want to deal with this. And the fact of the matter is, we've all heard it, we know the story. Basically, he didn't want them to get helped, right? He hated them, he had no use for them whatsoever, and Jonah's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. So what's he do? He gets on a ship. He goes and he tries to hide. He runs away from God. So he's on this ship with all these sailors and he's going to Tarshish, and then what happens? This big storm comes, right? And as I was going through this and thinking about this week, anybody seen the movie Perfect Storm? Remember the story, right? That's a true story. All of these storm systems and weather systems all kind of collide at the right time and they create this huge storm. And so when you're thinking about what's going on and the fear that's on this boat and with these sailors and everything that's happening, it's crashing against the boat and all of this is happening, you know, you're talking big swells. And so they're on this ship and they're kind of like, what is going on? The sailors are flipping out. And in the meantime, where was Jonah? He's down sleeping in the belly of the ship, right? And so they call him out, they roll the dice, they cast lots, they're like, it's all your fault. They get on him, and basically then what does Jonah say to do? Hurl me into the sea, and then this is all going to be taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. And so at the end of chapter 1, then what they do is they hurl Jonah into the sea, right? This raging sea, and that gets us to verse 17. So join me, and let's go ahead and take a look at that real quick, okay? So, verse 17 says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So, Eric was talking about it on here. In this verse, we have this picture where now Jonah's in the water, right? And God appoints this fish, the same as like he mentioned, he appointed the storm before. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's still in the midst of this entire situation with Jonah. He's got a plan. So here's Jonah now getting swallowed up by this fish. And I was thinking about this too. It's like, you know, a lot of people picture this whale, a sperm whale or whatever this would be. It doesn't specifically tell us what type of fish it was. And the reality is, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, to me, it could have been this great, big, huge orange goldfish. Like, you know, you see the ones over at the Chinese restaurant or whatever. The fact is that God knew exactly what Jonah needed and at that exact time. And we're going to really dive into that. So his surroundings, let's talk about that. You're in the belly of a fish, okay? So he just talked about the vomit and the stench that will go along with that. So Jonah's in digesting ocean life, warmth. So it's going to be warm inside there. It's just nasty inside there. All of this is going on. And the other thing that we have to keep in mind, too, that I think is significant, he's in the middle of darkness, right? So you're in the middle, you're in this fish, and whether he was conscious at this point, when did he come into consciousness or not, when he was in the fish, all of those things don't really matter. The reality is that he's there. And what is he in when he starts to experience this? And then as we're going to dive into two, we're going to talk about and really look and study and talk about his prayer and where his heart was. So basically, what we're going to do is look and see. Now, when you go down into there and you start to notice his prayer and where he was at and everything that he was experiencing, you know, the reality is that he was there in this belly for 3 days and three nights. And what a comparison to Christ and when Jesus was in the tomb again for 3 days and three nights. And in fact, in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 12, when the Pharisees were challenging Jesus and they were trying to get him to give them a sign, if you remember, and he says, well, hey, go back and look at Jonah. 3 days and three nights, there's your sign. And basically, that comparison between those two things is amazing. You have this story in the Old Testament, and then you have the story of actual Jesus and being in there for 3 days and three nights as well. So, one of the things that I wanted to do before we move on to chapter two, let's talk about that. So, here's Jonah. Here's this guy who's running, right? He didn't want to deal with it. Whether he was afraid, he was mad, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is, he's in this particular situation. Where do we find ourselves in our lives? In this belly, if you will, okay? I think that's one of the key things we take from this. Before we get to chapter two, what's our fish belly, if you will? When have we had those times in our lives where we've ran, we haven't listened, we've disobeyed, and we've gotten ourselves into a position where it's like, oh, how am I going to get out of this? All right. It can be, I don't know, school. You can be young, you can be in high school, you could be in a certain scenario in life where you're making decisions that end up getting you into a position where, how am I ever going to get out of this? You could be stuck in a prison cell all by yourself. No family, no friends, you can't get a hold of anyone. Decisions you've made have gotten you to a point where now you're in a belly, into this darkness, into this world where I don't know how to get out of this. But it causes you to get to a point in your life and in your walk where you cry out to God, okay? And I think we've all been there. We've had these times. We may be having them right now. We may have had times in our past where we can go back and we can look and see what were some of those things. How did I run from God in my life that ended up putting me into, if you will, the belly of a whale, okay? So the tomb of this fish and this belly, I think it represents our sin, right? The darkness of our sin. The picture of being in a place where because of our sin and because of our decisions and the things that we're doing, that puts us in that darkness. That puts us in that tomb, if you will, of death and what that represents. And the beautiful thing is here, you guys, we're going to talk about the fact that now we're going to see a beautiful story of someone who ran, didn't want to have anything to do with it, ends up in this position where now they have nothing but else to do but to pray out to God. You follow me so far? It's awesome. So now, let's go to chapter 2, and let's go ahead and read that, okay? I'm going to take little pieces and parts of it based, from a time perspective, but some things that I really think we've got to make sure that we don't miss in Jonah's prayer. So again, when we're looking at this, the first, about 6 to 7 verses, we are hearing Jonah basically describe where he was as he's going through this process of drowning, right? So these guys hurl him over the ship. The sea was raging and all this stuff is going on. And he is a mortal human being pitched into this water. And as we go through this, and when he begins this prayer, and the beautiful thing is, catch the fact that the first word in verse 1 is then. Okay? So he's in the belly. He's going through everything he is. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. And we see different things in here. I called out to the Lord. He answered me. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood surrounded me. This is a guy crying out. He got it. And, you know, I think that the reality is it'd be easy to get hung up on, well, how repentant was he? Was he this much repentant, that much repentant? Was he completely? The fact is that I don't really think, you guys, it matters in this scenario. What matters is where was his heart and where was God in relation to Jonah? And where is God in relation to us when we are at different points in our lives? We've all been there. It's tough sometimes when we're in a place where we know that different things that we've done, our situation, decisions we've made or whatever, it makes it hard for us to pray those things. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be a certain level here or there. But the fact is, and I think the most important thing is that we are there. We're praying, and we're seeking, and we're crying out. And I think that's what we see Jonah doing here. So let's take a look again and get back into chapter 2, 1 through 10. So verses 2 through 6, Jonah's describing what he remembers from the process of being overtaken by the sea and physically drowning, all right? So if you kind of go back in there, you're reading through and you're looking and he's saying, the waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed up upon me forever. And that's significant. We just watched a baptism, right? And that symbol of baptism is being dipped down into the water, a sinner, someone who has all of that muck and everything on top of us as a sinner, because we're not right, we're not perfect until we've actually accepted Christ and invited him to come into our life. And then we are raised up, right? We see this exact same image here with Jonah. He gets swallowed up by a fish. The fish goes down, and I think what we're seeing here is just a great picture of what that all is about, because he's in this place where he's caught up into his sin and all the stuff that was going on and his running, and now he's going to be lifted up. And the beautiful thing is, when you really look at it, you guys, is verse 6 in the second part of it, whose bars closed up upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. So, do we remember the yets of our life? Yet you brought me up. Yet you got me out of this situation that felt like there was no way I could possibly get out of it. But you do. Is God a God who chases us? Yes, right? Is God a God who pursues us relentlessly, even though, in a lot of cases, we don't deserve it, do we? He doesn't give up. And that's what we see here, right in the midst of this, right in the midst of a bunch of sailors, because of Jonah, and even though he was being a schmuck and running and doing all that he was, these guys end up coming to the Lord because of what happened as the result of God's interaction in Jonah's life. And then in chapter 3, we see then the other piece of bread, the other side of that sandwich, now the Ninevites, right? So we never really know truly what story God is unfolding in our lives, but we can trust it. And I think that's the key, folks, is that we know he is relentless in his pursuit to find us, to be there with us. And even when we screw up, even when we disobey, even when we run from him because we don't want to really deal with what we know he's calling us to do, he's faithful to be right there when we do cry out. Because we don't see in here Jonah praying this prayer, and then at the very end it says, but I cried out to my Lord, and he didn't hear me, and so I stayed in the belly, and that was the end of the story. That's not what we see here. We see God coming there. He already had a plan for him. He appointed this fish to swallow him up because, you know, let's face it, this is a little bit of woodshed time for Jonah, right? But God knew, and he was right there at the right time. And I think that's something we can apply to our lives all the time, guys, okay? So the other thing that I want to do is just make sure that we wrap this up by talking about the end of chapter 2. So we go through everything, we go through his prayer, we hear his heart crying out to the Lord. The Lord hears him. And then in verse 10, it says, "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah back up upon the dry land," or hurled, if you will. And the thing that was kind of funny is that it occurred to me that he gets hurled twice, right? He got hurled from the boat, and he gets hurled back on the land. And, you know, think about all the things that are packed into this story. It's incredible. But, it's one of those types of situations and those stories that God gives us that really, in a very short, small, four-chapter book, we can apply so many different things to our life, okay? So key things that I want to remember and take away from this. Number one, again, we have a loving God of second chances. Do we not? He's there for us. He's about second chances. Anyone in this room ever screwed up? Yeah. Recently? Yeah. We all do. We all fall short. We're never going to be perfect, all right? We're never going to be perfect. We can be cleansed, and we can be forgiven, and we can always go back to our Lord and ask for that forgiveness. But we're never going to completely arrive. But that is that's the point of the story. God gets that. And he is always, always going to be there for second chances to support us and continue to guide us and get us back on track if we happen to go one way or the other. That's encouraging to me. And I think it should be encouraged to all of us too, because we've probably experienced that in one time or another. It's some situation in our life. Again, whether you're young, maybe you're a teenager and you're going through things and you're going your way or this way. Maybe you're in that time of your life where you're just like, whoa, I'm not going to listen to anybody. I want to do my own thing. You get yourself wrapped up into a situation where now you have no out from it. It happens. It can also be somebody who's, who knows, 50, 60, 70 years old. It doesn't matter. We all have these times where we do it, and God is faithful to always be right there, okay? Secondly, we have a loving God of perfect timing. And let me back up, because the two things that I wanted to make sure to share in some examples of God being a God of second chances. You guys remember a dude named Peter? He was with Jesus all during his ministry. He was the rock, right? And then Jesus said, "Dude, you are going to deny even knowing me three times." I don't think so. And he did it anyway, right? Did Jesus give up on him? Did God give up on Peter? What was Peter's final story, right? Same thing about Samson. David, a man after God's own heart. He loved God. God loved him. David screwed up. If you don't know the story, go back and read it. It's a long one, but you're talking adultery, murder, all kinds of stuff. Did God give up on David? I think that's the comforting thing we can all embrace here, guys, is that he didn't give up on them, and he's not going to give up on us either. He's a God of second chances. And again, like I was saying before, he's a God of perfect timing. A God of perfect timing. Right when Jonah physically was at that point where he was drowning, and again, like we talked about, in his prayer, he's describing in those first six verses the process of being in the sea, being overwhelmed, the waves and the billows, everything were over him. He was right in the middle of it. And at the perfect time, God already knew, bring the fish and swallow him. I still have work for you to do. And I think that's what we can take away from this, all right? This isn't a story of repentance and certain levels of it. This is a story of surrender, and gives us a really good, strong, and beautiful image of that whole process of going down into our sin, down into that part of our life where we're walking away from God, but also then rising up and being saved and redeemed through his love, grace, and forgiveness. Does that make sense? And so let's walk away from this today knowing that if Jonah prayed that prayer and God heard him and he still finished his story, he's going to finish every one of your stories too, and mine. Do we believe that? Are we trusting that? Okay? We can. And I think that's the key for us. How does this point us to the gospel? How does this point us to the good news of Jesus? Well, I think in a roundabout way, we already kind of talked about that. Jesus came to save us from our sin, from eternal death. God met Jonah where he needed to meet him. And that gift of salvation, that gift of grace and love bestowed to him is right there for us too. I thought it was amazing how before, like I mentioned, Jesus actually mentions Jonah and his story of being in the whale or in the fish for 3 days and three nights. So whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, throughout all Scripture, we see the same process, the same thought of death to sin, but rising up to life. And the beautiful thing, we just witnessed it tangibly with Cohen's baptism, all right? So that really is where we're going to go with chapter 2. And again, it's just a beautiful story that we can all embrace. And I think what we really need to challenge ourselves on, you guys, is when we get done reading that, and when we get done reading any of these stories that are in Scripture, how can we look in the mirror and apply it to our own lives? And again, we're not ever perfect. We're not ever going to completely get it. But if we're reading this and meditating on it and challenging ourselves, that's what God wants us to do. He's going to do all the rest of the work. He's just there to meet us wherever we are. And if we're finding ourselves in our lives ever in that belly of stink, wrench, how did I get here? How do I get out? Cry out. Stop and pray. Cry out to him. And he's going to meet you there every time because he's a loving God of second chances. He's a just God, right? He's a God to be feared, but in a healthy way. But ultimately, he wants that relationship with us. He wanted the relationship with Jonah, but he was like, okay, come on, Jonah, we got to get this taken care of first. Put him in there for a few days so he could kind of think about life. He came around, chapter 4, okay, Jonah still had his issues, but don't we too? Even after we've been saved, even after we've accepted the gift of Christ's love and forgiveness, we still screw up too. We still sometimes fold our arms and get underneath the shade and then whine because the sun's too hot. Does that make sense? Okay. Why don't we go ahead and close up? Let's say a prayer, and let's just ask God to help us with putting all this together in our hearts and thinking it through, how can we apply it and then live it the best we can. So let's bow our heads, let's say a prayer, and we'll go ahead and close up. Father, again, we thank you so much for your scriptures, for your word, for the power that they bring to our lives. And Lord, we are sinners. We do fall short, and there are times where we just flat screw up. We run from you, we hide from you, and it's easier for us to disobey and not want to listen to your voice in our lives. And so I just pray, Lord, that this morning, this story of Jonah and the example we see of a guy who ran and ran and ran, and then at the perfect moment you showed up in your timing, you gave him a second chance. And the key thing here that we all have to remember is, Father, you know our hearts. If our hearts are genuine and our hearts are repentive and we are giving that to you, that you're going to work in it. You're going to do what you want to do in our lives. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And if there are people in here right now today, Father, that are just struggling and they're in that same place that Jonah was, where they just feel like they're stuck. They're in this darkness. They're in this foul, stenchy place in their life where they can't get out of it. First and foremost, I just pray that they understand and they know they're not alone, that we all have been there. We're all there now. But that you will give them the courage to face that, cry out to you as Jonah did, and that you will show up, you will be there faithfully to save us and to continue to tell the story of our lives. We pray these things all in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.